from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Coming up on Forum in our opening hour, first, yesterday, Governor Brown unveiled his latest revision to the state's 2014 budget. The new proposal accounts for shifting economic conditions and the multi-billion dollar increase in tax revenue seen over the past several months. We'll discuss the revision's impact on schools, health care coverage, job growth, and state debt. And then at 9:30, recent reports state that more than 400 steel rods securing the base of the new Bay Bridge's eastern span may be faulty, adding to concern about the bridge's seismic safety and structural soundness. The Federal Highway Administration has launched an investigation, and the state Senate committee held a hearing yesterday to find out what went wrong. We'll discuss latest developments. Forum up ahead after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to this morning's Forum program. California Governor Jerry Brown released his proposed budget yesterday, a revision of a proposal he put forth back in January. The new document includes a windfall of some $4.5 billion additional tax revenue, likely accounting for the first budget surplus in over a decade and allowing for an expansion of medical funding and a restructuring of school financing, with more revenue going to education. The governor stated that most of the money would be going to schools and characterized the budget as honest, careful, solid, and balanced. And the governor also cautioned against spending too much.
We have climbed out of a hole with a Proposition 30 tax. That's good. But this is not the time to break out the champagne.
Well, this opening forum hour, half hour, we want to key in and discuss the governor's budget proposal. Joining us from Sacramento is H.D. Palmer, the Deputy Director for External Affairs with the California Department of Finance. Welcome, H.D.
Good to be back, Michael. Thank you.
Good to have you here. And also have Scott Detrow with us, Sacramento Bureau Chief now for KQED Radio. Welcome, Scott.
Hey, happy to be here.
Glad to have you. And let me begin, if I may, Scott, with you. It sounds like, from all the governor has said, that he wants to keep a kind of tight control over the purse strings. And the champagne remark is, I suppose, a good indication of that. But a lot of folks are saying, well, all this money going into the coffers, can't we get more for social programs? Can't we get more for things other than education and maybe medical money?
That's correct. This was really the latest salvo in an ongoing conversation between Governor Brown and the Democrats, who control two-thirds of both the Senate and the Assembly and Senate. So, you know, if you go just by party, Democrats do have the ability to pass whatever they want. Of course, in politics, it's never that easy. There are always factions within parties, and it's hard to get a straight party line vote on anything. But a lot of Democrats have said, look, we have two-thirds control here in Sacramento. We have more tax dollars than we expected for the first time that we can remember. You know, after years and years of $20 billion plus deficits, this is a conversation about what to do with extra money. So where can we spend that money? Where can we restore these cuts after years of down economies? And there's been a lot of push from Democratic leaders like Senate President Pro Tem Daryl Steinberg to restore funding for social welfare programs, for the court system, for things like that. And Governor Brown's message yesterday was, yes, there are more tax dollars than we expected, but that has to go to education, and there's really not that much more money for anything else. And one quote that seems like most reporters led their stories with this morning was Brown saying that in Sacramento, there's always this rush to spend every dollar that they can get. And Governor Brown views himself as the backstop to you know, stand up against all this extra spending. So his plan puts about $3 billion extra toward education. And then he said there's really not that much more else extra revenue to go anywhere else. And that's, we're probably going to get into that. That's because he's saying, look, we do have more tax dollars than we expected, but the economy's still a little bit shaky here, and we can't just expect things to keep going up and up.
Talking to Scott Detrow, who is Sacramento Bureau Chief for KQED, let's hear what Governor said specifically about the money machine.
Everybody wants to see more spending. That's what this place is. It's a big spending machine. You need something? Come here and see if you can get it. Well, but I'm the backstop at the end, and I'm going to keep this budget balanced as long as I'm around here.
That's funny you said backstop. I thought of goalie. But, Scott, we've got some real differences here. You alluded to them before. I mean, not only with Senator Steinberg, but Assembly Speaker Perez wants more for the rainy day fund. We've got kind of debate over short-term money as opposed to long-term money to pay off the debt and all of that. So Governor Brown said he's open to negotiations, and I presume that's the case.
That's correct. This is kind of the starting point. And typically, when a governor proposes a budget, the governor is going to get the vast majority of what they put forward in that spending plan. But one area where you could tell that the negotiations are starting to begin here is there's a real difference of opinion between the governor and legislators on what to do with education funding. He wants to basically rewrite the formula and end up directing more money to poorer school districts. Now, when Governor Brown talked about this plan last month, he said he was going to fight. He was going to give lawmakers the fight of their lives. He said fight over and over and over again. And, you know, this was going to be basically a line in the sand for him. And when he was asked the same question yesterday, he had a much different response. He said, you know, basically, well, legislators need to pass this bill. This is a negotiation. There's a give and take. You know, a lot more willing to come to the table and have a conversation this time around than he was last month. And I think that's true. Senate President Daryl Steinberg says he wants to see more money for a few programs. Speaker Perez said the same thing. And it's safe to say that 5 weeks from now, when there's a real budget in place, when votes are being taken, they're probably going to get more money in these specific areas. It's just a question of where that money is going to be. And Brown is making it clear that he's not going to just give away money. He's going to be kind of strategic about where he would want to see that extra spending, because his point is that there's really not that much money to go around to begin with. It's not like, well, first of all, the number that we've been hearing for the last few weeks was $4.5 billion in extra tax revenue. And the Brown administration is saying that's not really the case. A lot of this tax money was coming in earlier than expected, which means it won't be coming in later in the year. So we're really only talking about $3 billion extra dollars, not this $4.5.
But most of it, H.D. Palmer, really is going to education. Scott Detrow mentioned that the governor is in favor of helping disadvantaged schools, and made some remarks about, you know, if you live in Piedmont as opposed to Compton, you know, you have a very different attitude toward education. But, well, Proposition 95, to some extent, is handcuffing him in terms of what money he has to put in education, isn't it?
Well, that's true. The lion's share of all new revenues, actually, it's, if you can believe it, 103% of all of the additional revenues that we've taken in this year have to go to Proposition 98. That's not a bad thing.
I'm sorry, I said 95, and I meant 98. Thank you.
No, that's fine. But yes, the governor believes passionately, as Scott alluded to, on this change in an antiquated and outdated funding formula. When you look at the 6.2 million kids that are in K-12 schools in California, more than half, 3.4 million of them, are either English learners or are from low-income families as measured by their eligibility for free or reduced-price school meals. And so the governor is proposing for all districts in the state to grow over the next 7 years, but to target a portion of that additional growth to go to those districts that have those concentrations of English learners and low incomes. The debate so far has been over what are called the concentration grants, where the governor's formula would provide additional resources for those districts that have enrollment of English learners or low-income students or foster students or foster youth, rather, over 50%. Some in the legislature want to take that money and put it back into the so-called base grants. But the concentration grants works out to about only 4 cents out of every dollar. And in the governor's view, if you put that into the base grants, which is about 80 cents on the dollar, you really dilute the effectiveness of those dollars. Whereas if you target them for those districts that have more than half of their enrollment in those categories, you really get a lot more bang for your buck. So that's why the governor has been so insistent on maintaining the architecture of the formula.
Well, there's a billion more that's been proposed for schools than what he said in January for Common Core academic standards. But we're also talking about $250 million just for – well, educational overhaul, that's going to be more money under local control too, isn't it?
That's correct. We're proposing an additional $240 million for the first year of the governor's local control funding formula, and that would take the first year funding. Again, it's going to be implemented over 7 years, but the first year funding would then go up to about $1.9 billion. And so I think there's broad agreement over the intent and the thrust of the formula. We've just got to work our way through some of the particulars, and the governor yesterday furthered that discussion when he was talking about, you know, the size of how much is a base grant and how much is a so-called, you know, a supplemental grant that goes for districts that have less than 50% of their enrollment being either English learners or low-income students.
I guess it's fair to say, though, that not only wasn't the effects of the sequester anticipated in terms of putting out this budget yesterday, the governor, I think, alluded to that, but also when he spoke, there was a feeling of great uncertainty over the economy. I mean, as if he was sort of avoiding the fact that or trying to avoid the fact that there may be problems up ahead that we can't anticipate, and wants to ensure that that's the case, that we could fend off that.
He was being very realistic about what lies ahead, because there are any number of factors that could affect us. We've adjusted our forecast for two things that weren't in January, the sequester and the payroll tax holiday going away. That's taken personal income projections down by about 2% statewide, and that's going to have an effect. It brought down our sales tax numbers on consumer spending. And we have a number of things being a global economy that affect California. If you heard Morning Edition this morning, you heard Soraya Sarhadi-Nelson talking about the ongoing economic contraction in Europe, one of our major trading partners. That has an effect on our economy, which in turn affects our revenue. So we are not an island. Things that happen in the economies of China or Europe or South Korea have an impact on what goes on here in California.
We're talking with H.D. Palmer now, who is Deputy Director of External Affairs with the California Department of Finances. No boost in social services, though, and that's of concern to many Californians. What's the governor's justification of that, Scott Detrow?
No boost in social services. His justification is there's really not that much money to do so. We talked about how of that, $3 to $4 billion in extra tax revenue that we're talking about, how mostly due to Prop 98, the vast majority of that already has to go to schools. So you put that money there, and there's not that much extra revenue. That's his bottom line. And when you talk about this projection, the governor is being very conservative in terms of how much tax revenue he expects to take in over the next year. A lot of people are questioning that. A lot of analysts are saying he's probably taking the most conservative approach that he can in terms of how much tax revenue we're expecting. And a lot of people are looking forward to seeing what the Legislative Analyst Office has to say in the next day or so when they come out with their own projections. But there's some politics in there, too. And it's also, of course, an imprecise science. It's making an estimate of how much money you're expecting to get over the next year. Nobody can really be exact. And if you're somebody like Governor Brown, who doesn't want to spend as much money, it makes sense to be conservative and say, look, we can only bank on this amount of money. And then, hey, it's happy news when there's more money to spend at the end of the year. That's better than being overly optimistic and then having to deal with cuts after the fact.
Well, Scott, you know the history of the governor getting a lot of brickbats about being too cozy with the unions. And there is really a whole number of people, a significant number of people, want to restore the safety net programs. And they're competing with schools for the extra dollars. And today in the Sacramento Bee, Dan Walter says it's not even a fair fight since the teachers' union is so powerful.
Sure. And on unions, that's another factor that's out there that's not really addressed in this budget. Brown kind of channeled Donald Rumsfeld yesterday and talked about known unknowns in terms of the state's economic picture. He's got negotiations coming up with several large state employees unions, and this spending plan doesn't really account for what the end contract would be. Somebody asked about that, and the governor said, well, look, if I'm trying to negotiate, I don't want to tell them how much money we want to spend on that. So that's something that's up in the air as well. And you're right that there is going to be a really big push to restore some of this spending. Again, coming out of a long recession, coming out of these major budget deficits, the groups that fight for these social welfare programs and for other line items throughout the budget have had to deal with cuts and cuts and cuts, and they're going to do everything they can to see if they can get part of the increased money this year when you're talking about increasing spending even by a little bit as opposed to big slashes.
Well, one of the things, H.D. Palmer, I noticed in the governor's budget proposal, the recovery we're speaking about doesn't necessarily include a better job picture for California. We're still at a jobless rate of over 9%, but the governor's proposed $48 million to CalWORKs, to the workfare program, and funding for job training, also subsidizing job opportunities. So this is the sort of money, I suppose, that many people who are concerned about the future of the economy like to see, and yet social programs seem to be ignored here.
Well, there is additional money, as you mentioned, Michael, in the CalWORKs program that's designed to help individuals migrate off of public assistance and back into the workforce. But in terms of the overall social spending, I can understand that there's a lot of demand given some of the numbers that we've seen recently to immediately buy back everything we've had to do in the last several years to be able to get the budget into balance. What we need to remember is the reason that we have gotten to where we are is two reasons. Number one, we've had to make very difficult but necessary reductions in state spending. And number two, the voters entrusted the governor and the legislature with additional revenues last year when they passed Proposition 30. We are now on a path where if we stay on the governor's proposed budget, we're looking at being in balance and a modest surplus over the next 3 to 4 years. If we start undoing what we have done, then we're going to be going back into a situation where we have been in recent years with budget gaps. And the other thing to remember about where we are at this point in time on cash is that this may not be reflective of underlying economic growth, but may just be a one-time acceleration of income into this current year. And we've seen what happens when Sacramento does that. Look back to the dot-com era when the revenues were riding the rocket and the state built up an ongoing higher level of spending. And when those dot-com boom went spectacularly bust and those one-time revenues went away, we created the multi-billion dollar budget gaps that in many respects were finally getting around to close. So we don't want to see that movie again because it didn't have a good ending.
Well, if you'd like to join this discussion and add your voice to it, now is the time to do that. This is a half-hour segment, and I know many of you have questions, concerns, comments you'd like to make about the budget. So please give us a call at 866-733-6786. That's toll-free, and you can call us now, 866-733-6786. You can also email any questions or comments to forum@kqed.org or post them on our website, kqed.org/forum. Or go to Twitter and tweet us at KQED Forum, or go to Facebook at KQED Forum. But please feel free to join the discussion. We're talking again, if you've just joined us, about the governor's proposed budget. Scott Detrow with us, Sacramento Bureau Chief for KQED, and H.D. Palmer, the Deputy Director for External Affairs for the California Department of Finance. And I want to get right to our listeners here. Just a quick question for you, though, Scott, and that is, what's the likelihood that this proposed budget, in terms of all of its details, is going to get through?
In terms of the timing or in terms of the content?
Well, the timing has to get it through by the new fiscal year, which is the end of June. So the pressure is on. But he's got a two-thirds Democratic Party behind him. And yet he's got some dissent from both the Assembly and the Senate.
That's right. I think that really comes down to the leadership in the Assembly and Senate, because both Speaker Perez and President Daryl Steinberg have basically mirrored Brown on the idea that they don't want to use the supermajority to kind of, you know, hike up taxes, to explode spending, to kind of try and restore a decade's worth of cuts in 1 year. They're kind of mirroring the governor on wanting to be, for the most part, pretty conservative, but they do definitely want to push for more spending in the social welfare areas, in the court system. That's an area where both Steinberg and Perez were very blunt yesterday, saying, look, they don't think the governor's budget spends enough. But for the most part, the disagreement is not on these major areas. They seem to be, for the most part, on the same page. I think the question is what happens with the rest of the Assembly, what happens with the rank and file members, especially the new ones. You know, are they going to be on board with this relatively cautious approach? And that's something we'll find out over the next few weeks.
Yeah, H.D., you want to weigh in here?
Well, I think there's broad agreement, if you look at the statements that were made yesterday from both Republicans and Democrats, that they're applauding the governor's, you know, restraint and understandable reason to be prudent given what we know about the revenue and the economic picture right now. And so there will be differences. They will be debated. But in the main, I think that there's I don't know if consensus is the right word, but people think this is a budget that is prudent and is right for the times that we have, which are good from where we've come from, but prudent given where we know we may be or may not be given what's going on with the economy.
There is a good deal of anger, though, from some quarters, not only those who want to restore social cuts, but environmentalists and low-income communities are concerned over the plan to shift about $500 million of funds generated by the new cap-and-trade fees onto a one-year loan to the state finance department. And many people think that this money should be going into fighting climate change.
Well, it's not a loan of the Department of Finance. It's a loan of the state's general fund, which would be repaid with interest. And we think that the additional time that we have will better inform the investment decisions and provide the Air Resources Board time to ensure that the required updates that are due at the end of this year continue to move us toward programs where we're going to get the most bang for our buck, if you will, out off of programs to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. So it's a provision that provides general fund relief, but it's also a situation where we've structured it so that if that loan needs to be repaid, it can and will be with interest.
I guess a lot of the controversy is what should go into the general fund or how much should go into the general fund. But let me bring our callers on here. And Michael, let's begin with you. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning. I have another question about the cap and trade revenue, actually. As I'm sure the speakers know, the process for generating that revenue is subject to court challenge, multiple court challenges right now. The question being whether it's a tax, an illegal tax, or a legitimate fee. And I'm curious how the budget or what the perspective is of the different speakers on the extent to which that creates risk in the budget. I mean, it's $500 million that might or might not be available, depending on what the courts decide.
Scott Detrow.
My understanding, and HD can correct me if I'm wrong, is that this spending plan and the overall cap and trade structure is not working with any specific contingencies on what happens if that court case is successful. They're proceeding as planned, continuing to hold auctions, continuing to bring in this revenue, and that's something that would essentially be dealt with if the courts do rule on that decision. Is that the gist of it?
HC?
Well, you have any number of legal risks that are in a budget. We have a slew of suits against the state over redevelopment, for example. But you can't build a budget assuming you're going to lose every legal challenge to it. If that was the case, that budgeting in Sacramento would come to a grinding halt. So, you know, the investment plan is out there in terms of the areas where we intend to invest in things like sustainable communities, energy efficiency, waste diversion, and a number of other areas. The issue is we need more time to be able to further refine the plans for what specific dollars should go for what specific programs to reduce greenhouse gas emissions, and this is in furtherance of that plan, but still provides general fund relief and provides a mechanism for repayment during the year if needed.
Well, let me thank Michael for the call and go back to you, HD, on a question that Bob poses on our website. Does the governor plan to start paying down the wall of debt monies borrowed for many years from other programs?
Absolutely. We are continuing to build our payments down to the so-called wall of debt. In fact, one of the things we're doing with the additional revenue in the current year under Proposition 98 is accelerating the repayment of the deferrals to K-12 schools, which has basically been a situation where the state has been balancing its books by borrowing from school districts. And that's important for a couple of reasons. It was just last week, Standard & Poor's, the credit rating agency that upgraded the state earlier this year for the first time in 6 years, made a very important point. They said whether or not retiring these liabilities as a priority could have credit rating implications. So it's an important from a budgetary standpoint, but also in the eyes of Wall Street from the overall credit worthiness of the state of California. And we finally are being upgraded by Wall Street, and we don't want to move backward. And that's why one of the many reasons that the governor is sticking to paying down that wall of debt.
And Scott Detrow, there has been, we're coming up to the end of this segment, but a whole rush of tax proposals, and the governor's taking a kind of hard line on that with the budget, too.
That's right. His point is that last year there was a big tax increase and that, you know, he has no interest in going through that again. That's something he specifically mentioned yesterday on whether or not there should be an oil severance tax in conjunction with this likely new oil boom that California is going to see over the next few years with hydraulic fracturing. That's something that Brown said he's just not interested in. And he said several times in the past that if California is going to go through with another tax increase, that's something he would want to put on the ballot and not just pass through in Sacramento.
No, he's got kind of a moratorium on fracking, too, which could generate more revenue. Yeah.
That's right. That's something that's going to be worked out. There's a couple bills today that deal with how California is going to handle the fracking boom.
Well, we will continue to follow this and follow what happens to the governor's budget as we move toward the new fiscal year beginning July 1st. But the devil is always in the details. I want to thank Scott Detrow, Sacramento Bureau Chief from KQED. Thank you, Scott, for being with us.
Happy to help.
And thanks, H.D. Palmer, Deputy Director of External Affairs for the California Department of Finance.
Thank you, Michael.
And thank you, our listeners. We have another segment coming up. We're going to find out, not only was the budget unveiled yesterday, but so was some pretty strong questioning about the Bay Bridge. When we return on Forum, I'm Michael Krasny.